Welcome to the devotional cast. It's been a long time. It's been a long while, but I had to bring it back because I love the Lord very much. And tonight we have Eric Ryan Olson. Eric, welcome back to the DevoCast.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much, Santiago. It's great to be back to the DevoCast, and praise God and blessings to everyone who is listening.
So, Eric, what have you been up to these days?
Brother, I did not want to make a public announcement like this, but I think you know, I've told you, I've confided in a few people, but it's been very busy times with my family. Our older son, Jonah, as those of you who know us, he was born with a chromosome disorder, and he has a trach, and he's been making progress, and he's been having a lot of appointments and tests because we're hoping in the next few weeks, really, or to get him decannulated, where he gets his surgery, where he gets his trach removed. And that's a real blessing and praise report from God, because the trach has a lot of maintenance, and he needed it for a long time. He's had it for over 5 years now, but if he's strong enough to breathe on his own without it, then we won't have to get a lot of equipment that's necessary for it. It just will be a big blessing for us. So we've been busy with that. And then I guess I feel like I should. It's time to make this announcement because it's June, and my family, we've been preparing to make a big move from Virginia Beach to Boise, Idaho, and we'll be moving in the middle end of July. So we're really only about 6 weeks out or so. And so, a little over maybe 43 days before we move. And there's a lot of reasons behind that, but we've been little by little daily preparing for that move. That's been big in these recently as well, brother.
Wow, big announcement. I had no idea you were going to give it tonight, but I'm glad that the DevoCast had the privilege to hear the big announcement.
Amen. And that was totally spontaneous. I prepared a devotional that's on my heart, and I feel like there's a word on my heart from the Lord, and I did not prepare to make that announcement, but it just felt right. It felt spontaneous. And to all those who have been friends and prayed and supported my wife and I and our family in big ways and little ways, including you, Brother Santiago, and many people that I'm not going to list off right now, we're just so thankful to all those who've been followed our journey, my wife and I getting married, and then Jesus Makes a Difference and my Jesus portrayals. And we continue with that. We will never, the Lord has called us to that. And then just with three children, raising them, and we trust the Lord's going to take everything to the next level. It's just day by day, though, and season by season. So, amen.
The devotional cast is a cast where we talk about the Bible and also how we, share what God is teaching us, lately. Mm-hmm. Every day is daily bread, and he's speaking, to all of our hearts, speaking to mine, Eric's, and Lord has, like he's been speaking to me. There's a season for everything, and I really, really mm-hmm. glad that we have, there's a season of moving, there's a season of change, but it's good change. I think everything happens for a reason. And we're going to begin a word of prayer, and then Eric Olson will take it away. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for today. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done and what you're going to do in our lives, Lord. And if anyone out there, Lord, is listening, Lord, touch their hearts, change their lives in your precious name, because you can only change them, Lord. We're only vessels. We can only do what we can, but you make us whole, and you make anyone that is seeking you, Lord, that you'll make them whole as well. And Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for Eric and his word, and bless him, speak through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Eric, all yours.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother, for that wonderful prayer. And praise God for this Wednesday, June 6th, 2018. And I, as I was praying and meditating with the Lord about what I should share on this devotional cast, a couple of different things came to mind, but what really just really settled in my spirit was the word magnify. And then there's a scripture, and so I want to focus on five verses in Psalm 34, 1 through 5, and I want to read them from three different translations. I know a lot of people have preferred translations, so I want to just read those five verses in three different translations, and then to elaborate on a few things that came to my spirit as I was meditating on these verses. And I want to encourage you, and Lord, I ask that you would really bring life to those who are listening through your word, and pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation on the application of your word, and as we digest and dialogue about your word, Lord. So I thank you for this in Jesus' name. So I'm going to read Psalm 34, verse 1 through 5 from the New American Standard Bible. Here it goes. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never be ashamed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Before I elaborate it, I'm going to read it now from the King James Version. I know there's people out there who are KJV only people, so let's read it from the King James together. I'll read it and listen with me. Same passage, Psalm 34, 1 through 5. This is the King James Version. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Hallelujah. All right, last translation here. I'm going to read, and then I'm going to go and give some exhortation upon these passages. Let's read the Amplified Version, okay? Psalm 34, 1 through 5 for a third time. Thank you, Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. The humble and downtrodden will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift up his name together. I sought the Lord on the authority of his word, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant. Their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. Amen. Hallelujah. What powerful passages here. And what these five verses, what a strategy, what a game plan for victory over the enemy. And look at it. The first verse, I will bless the Lord at all times. Not only on Sundays, not only when I'm in a church service, at all times, wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, if I'm in my car, if I'm in my room, my heart, out of the mouth speaks the contents of the heart. Jesus says, out of the mouth speaks the overflow of the heart. If your heart loves the Lord, you can't help but bless the Lord at all times, because your heart, wherever you go, you take your heart with you. So if the blessings and the praise of God is in your heart and Christ dwells richly in your heart by faith, it's inevitably the name of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord are going to come out of your mouth, not in a contrived religious way, but in an authentic, natural way that flows from the very core of your identity, because your primary identity is in the Spirit and is in Christ, and Christ is in you. and his praise, it shall continually be in our mouths because it's continually in our hearts. Hallelujah. And then verse 2, right? Our soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Hey, we're, a lot of us, we're from different regions. We have sports teams that we root for. But really, we shouldn't boast. We can root for the Warriors, but we should boast in the Lord. We shouldn't boast for the Warriors or the Cavs. We should boast, right? We should exalt the Lord. And we shouldn't boast in the region we're from. I know a lot of people who are New Yorkers, you know, it's like they boast about being from Brooklyn or the Bronx. And that's okay to a degree. But don't let the boast of where you're from be greater than the boast in the Lord. Amen? That the Lord should be your primary focus. And right, and when we boast in the Lord, it says right here in verse 2, again, continue to, the humble and downtrodden, this is again from the Amplified, will hear it and rejoice. So those who are in humble circumstances, those who have been beat up by life, right, when they have no hope in circumstances or in a situation or in an institution because they're a lowly, right, they're not part of the upper class, so they don't have hope within the institutions of man, but they have hope in the name of the Lord. They have hope in Christ Jesus, who died for all people, for all men of all times, of every nation. So they will rejoice when they hear the name of the Lord being exalted. Hallelujah. In spirit and in truth. And the third verse here, the word verse I want to really extrapolate upon here, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Hallelujah. This is a psalm of David, but this applies to all of us who love the Lord. And this is when you know you can have fellowship with someone in spirit and truth, when you can pray together and there's a Jesus connection, it's when you can magnify the Lord together. It's not just, again, for an hour on Sunday service or Wednesday night service where you're in a worship service. That's great. But how about when you talk with a brother or sister, can in your content of your conversation, can you magnify the Lord? And again, think about it, the word magnify. What does it mean to magnify? And this is the word that came to my spirit that I never hit me before, but it makes perfect sense. This is what came to me. Whatever you magnify, you inevitably will meditate on. And whatever you meditate on, you will inevitably magnify. It's a cycle. It's a circle. They're connected. They're two sides of the same coin. Magnify, meditate. So if we meditate on the Lord in faith and in love, we're going to inevitably magnify the Lord. And if we magnify the Lord, we're going to inevitably meditate him upon him and his word in our mind and our spirit. So my question is, what are you magnifying? We face trials, we face troubles in life and with relationships, with finances, with different persecutions that may come. Don't meditate on those things, because if you're meditating on them, then you're magnifying them in your mind. And then if you're meditating on them, then you're going to talk about problems or circumstances more than you're talking about the Lord. More than you're exalting the name of the Lord, and that will not set you free. So think about the technology of the magnifying glass under a microscope, right? When you magnify something, you get deeper insights into it, right? They discovered all these cures for different medicines from the germ theory by magnifying cells on a molecular level. That when you magnify it, you can't see it with the human eye, but when you get the magnifying glass, you can see on a microscopic level, and it gives you insight to the truth of a situation. Or with astronomy, right, with super powerful telescopes, we can magnify the stars, and we can see things that were not able to be seen before, right? And so when you magnify the Lord, the next verse in verse 3 says, the next sentence in verse 3 says, and let us lift up his name together. Right, together. Magnify the Lord with me. So I tell you, if you have someone on the phone that has a problem or they want to pour out their sorrows to you, that's okay. But you know what? That's not going to do good just listening to them cry or listening to their pour out their troubles. At some point, say, hey, Let's magnify the Lord together. Let's lift up his name together. Magnify the Lord with me. Hey, brother, hey, sister, I know you're going through a sad time. I know you're going through a trial. I know there's bills that need to be paid. I know there's some hurts and some relationships. But you know what? Don't magnify that. Don't focus on that right now. Put that aside and magnify the Lord with me. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Lord. And let's lift up his name together, right? And then if you do that, then verse 4 says this: I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. So when we magnify the Lord together, when we lift up his name together, what will he do? Then it means we're seeking him together. And when we seek him and we call upon him, he'll answer us, and he'll deliver us from all our fears. Well, if we magnify our fears, then we're meditating on them, and then they have control over us. And we'll never get free from them apart from the Lord. The Lord can set us free from what we cannot set ourselves free. Who the Son sets free, Jesus is the Lord, who the Son sets free is free indeed. And then verse 5, like those who look to the Lord, those of us who magnify him and lift up his name together, right, he's going to shine his face upon us, and we're going to be radiant, and we'll never be put to shame. We'll never be in confusion. So that's my exhortation to you. Exalt the Lord. Magnify the Lord with me. Look to him. Focus into him, and watch what he will do in your life. He will set you free, and free indeed. Thank you, Lord. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Thank you very much, Eric. That was beautiful. You know, this is a very, very good passage. These five is pretty much what a lot of human beings go through, and that, especially us, I mean, even us Christians, I think, especially like the very last part of the verse, the fifth verse where it says their faces will never blush in shame or confusion. I think when the Lord's not there, there's confusion. But when you know the Lord, when he gives you, you know, trust, and when he gives you peace, you know, there's no more shame, there's no more confusion. And I really, you know, this is very relevant. And then in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us lift up his name together. You know, like you were saying, a lot of people expound on sports teams, or they expound on themselves a lot. And hold on, where's the Lord? You know, whenever I get a paycheck, or whenever I see a miracle, I magnify the Lord. I mean, I thank the Lord, as, you know, it could be very little, like a short prayer, or I just have a whole worship set, you know? Eric, can you say a prayer out there for people that don't know, like, the Lord, or for people that also, and for people that are dealing with a tough time or a tough season? And you know, if you're out there that need Jesus, you know, come to know him. You know, he's good. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So, Eric, can you say a quick prayer?
Absolutely, brother. And a quick about knowing Jesus. You know, he's the resurrected Messiah. He's the resurrected Son of God. And the Spirit of the Lord goes to and fro through all the earth, seeking a heart who will be fully his. And Jesus says to those who follow him and to those who believe in him, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. So think about it. If you have ever had a best friend or a friend that you confide in, right, you just open up your heart. You share, not in a formulaic way or in a scripted way. You share from your heart. You just do the best you can, putting words to your heart. God sees the heart, and he sees what's really in our heart. And even if you stumble, if you stutter over your words, if you garble, because sometimes there's pain, sometimes we don't know how to articulate. And praise the Lord, that's one thing in the Holy Spirit. He gives us a gift of tongues to pray beyond what human language can express in moans and groans. The Holy Spirit helps us. So, yeah, but it starts, every relationship starts with asking. Every relationship starts with communication. But it starts with a question, and you know, just pouring out your heart. And sometimes the question of a relationship is, you know, tell me about yourself. Or, hey, I believe in you, and if you have a good friend. But Jesus obviously is, it's not on a human level, he's God in the flesh. But he wants us to know us on that intimate level, and he will set us free, he'll fill us with the Spirit. So I'm going to pray, and I encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord from your heart. Call upon Jesus and just ask him to reveal himself to you, and he will answer you. Seek him, magnify him, focus on the Lord, and what you focus on, you empower. So empower the Lord over your life. Father God, I thank you so much. Thank you for your intimacy. Thank you for your compassion, your love that's everlasting. Lord, you know everything we've been through. You know all the mistakes we've made. You know all the struggles. You know the disillusionments we've been through. You love us, Lord, through everything. And your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. I pray for those listening right now, Lord, those who maybe know about you, but they don't know you personally, in spirit and in truth. I pray that you would deposit faith into them and give them the courage to call upon your name in the privacy of their own heart alone, that they would repent, they would turn to you from living for themselves to living for you. They would give their life to you, believing that you truly are the way, the truth, and the life. I pray you would speak to them. Let your spirit speak to them and revive them. And Lord, as it says in Hebrews, those who hear the Spirit, do not harden their hearts. Do not harden your heart, but turn to the Lord with all your heart. And I pray, Lord, that you would empower all of us to live out, to observe, and to be obedient to the first and greatest commandment, Lord Jesus, you said, which is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, and all your soul. And Lord, you said the second commandment, the greatest commandment, is like love your neighbor as unto yourself. But Lord, how can we do the other commandments if we miss the first one? So Lord, I thank you for that always being a measuring stick in our heart, Lord. And we fall short, but I thank you that your mercies are new every day. And I pray, Lord, that you would set people free, including myself, including Santiago and those listening. Set us free, renew our minds. We repent from meditating on things that are destructive to your word and your will in our lives. We reject every spirit of diversion and confusion. Get off of your people in Jesus' name. We rebuke every confusing spirit of fear that would lead people astray. Father, my life verse, and you know it well, and it's your heart, Lord. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear involves torment. The one who fears has not been perfected in love. Right now, every spirit of fear that's attached to somebody, a stronghold, we just command it to be broken off. And Father God, I ask that you would in flood pour out your perfect love. Let it be tangible and palpable, and drive out, cast out the fears upon anyone listening, Lord God, that they would be free and to serve you in freedom, to walk with you in freedom, to look to you, and that their face, as it says here in Psalm 34:5, would radiate because they've been magnifying you, meditating upon you and your word, and walking in your perfect will with a perfectly clear and clean conscience and heart, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We love you. Let your will be done in our lives. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven in our lives, Lord. For your glory, Lord, we trust you. Father, we invite your pruning and we invite your discipline to mature us into the full measure of Christ Jesus, Lord. We love you and we pray these things, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. If you have faith as children, come. Well, Eric, can you tell us a little bit about your ministry, JMTD Biz, and what's the latest work and everything else?
Thank you, brother. JMTD.biz is a ministry that exalts Jesus as Lord, that creates excellent, original, edifying Jesus content, and does live Jesus portrayals. And the big news on this, it's just an early development, but we're adding a new Jesus portrayal from the Gospels to the repertoire. And it's the end time discourse of Christ Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew. And that's chapter 23, 24, and 25. These are the words of Christ that when the disciples asked him, what are the signs of these times, of the end times? And Jesus, he gives this discourse about the end times. And it's really, you know, it's a flow. It's all connected, Matthew 23, 24, and 25. And the goal is that we'll be added to the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew 5 through 7 and the Farewell Address, John 14 through 17, and then a compilation of the parables of the Kingdom of God. So we'll have this will be the fourth Jesus portrayal, and that there will be four distinct, approximately 30-minute portrayals, Jesus portrayals, that can be offered to be done at churches, at ministries. And each different text, you know, serves a different purpose and has a slightly different anointing, you know, for the reason and the specific text and for the moment. And the Lord breathes of it upon the word afresh, you know, every time that it is dramatized, that it's portrayed. So that's the key, and we have great news. We just heard back from the U.S. government that my wife and I, we had submitted the trademark application back in January, and we just heard back that we are officially registered as we own the rights. We're registered logo, our digital Jesus logo, and our name, JMTD. So we own the rights to that. That's very encouraging. And we're in this forever. This the phrase Jesus Makes a Difference, that's JMTD, that is the acronym Jesus Makes a Difference. It began with us, my wife and I, at our wedding. It was the theme of our wedding because we realized without him, without the Lord Jesus, there would be no us. We would have never got married apart from him. And so, and there's so many applications. Without the Savior, there is no salvation. Jesus Makes a Difference. So our vision is huge with that long. We're taking that to the next level as we move out to Boise. And again, you can follow us on YouTube. If you search JMTD, we have an Instagram account, a Facebook page. And this season, again, with our family, we've been busy, so we haven't been able to post as much content as we'd like. But we have a lot of stuff in the oven, so to speak, that's cooking. We have a lot of stuff that is percolating, getting ready to get produced. So, and we have a Patreon. People can support our ministry if they want, for like $2 a month, as little as $2 a month through Patreon, patreon.com/JMTD. And yeah, we're excited. We're thankful. We also want to do full-length feature films that exalt Jesus, documentaries, and all these things. So that's kind of the long and the short of it. We have apparel with our logo, and we want to expand on our apparel and accessories as well with the JMTD message and logo.
It's a beautiful ministry. I really strongly encourage you guys to follow them and to support them. Great content. If you see the videos, it's high quality. And I've been with Eric for 10 years. I mean, I've seen it grow, and he's right. The ministry did start at the point when they got married. It was the JMTD. I wish I went. I don't know what happened. I don't know why I didn't show up, but it was definitely a big event. Eric, sports. We haven't talked about sports in a while. NBA Finals is happening tonight, Game 3. Who do you think will take it?
Well, I'll be honest. What I think Golden State is going to sweep the Cavs. So I think that Golden State will take it tonight. But I'll say this: I think it'll be a sweep. But at the very most, it'll be five games. And if the Cavs are to win a game tonight, I think is their best chance. If they lose tonight, then it's definitely a sweep, in my opinion. Tonight, where they go back to home court, they have a chance to prove themselves. I think tonight would be the chance for Cleveland to win a game in the series. If they don't pull it out tonight, I just can't see them winning the fourth game. I think it would definitely be a sweep. So, yeah, I hope for a competitive series. I would like Cleveland to – I would like it to go to a game seven just purely for the suspense and, you know, get to watch these competitive teams play more games and just go down to that ever high climactic game seven, you know. That's always intense. So I would like to see that, but I really think in all reality, it's not going to happen. At the very most, it would be game five. Golden State will take it. So, I mean, that's my opinion. That's what I think. I, and I think probably a lot of people out there probably agree with me at this point. What about you, Santiago? What do you think?
Okay, this playoffs has been unpredictable, especially like the last round, like the conference finals. We thought that Boston was going to sweep or Boston was going to win the series. I think Cleveland's going to win tonight, at least. It might go just to five games. I don't think it'll be a sweep. I mean, seven games, that would be wow. If LeBron could take the Cavs to seven games, props to him. And even if he loses game seven, I mean, props to him. And have you noticed the conversation of MJ and LeBron, who's better, has gone away a little bit now?
Yeah, I know. Like you said, that's like a way. One game, they're like saying he's like MJ, and then the next game, like, you know, it goes away because he made a mistake or something. So, yeah, I mean, the one thing I think MJ, like, you know, you've seen that maybe a lot of people made a big deal about, you know, game one. There was videotape of LeBron on the bench, right, between overtime, and he didn't demonstrate, like a lot of people said, the leadership qualities of a Jordan or even a Kobe Bryant. He kind of pouted on the bench, right? Because, you know, J.R. Smith had the bonehead move, not realizing that it was tied. And instead of, like, you know, pumping his guys up and be like, okay, let's focus, he kind of just, he acted kind of immature, you know? And he didn't encourage his teammates. He was kind of upset with them. And so I think that's where people really, I mean, LeBron, phenom, athletically, I mean, one of the most definitely top probably five players easily, of course, in the NBA history. But something about his mindset, he's an excellent passer, excellent playmaker. But there's something that at times he lacks, just on a pure leadership level, a pure, like, intensity level. Like, now, times just his absolute skill level that is so superior, I think it just rises to the top and he overcomes. But when his attitude at times can be, I think, immature and petty. And that's what maybe Jordan, this is the age of social media and there's cameras everywhere, so maybe Jordan had some of that too and we just don't see it. But he's not remembered that way. Jordan is remembered as being, you know, never having moments like that, always, you know, encourages teammates to pick it up and go for it. And like Steve Kerr, the coach of the Warriors, was once a teammate of Jordan's, and, you know, he talked about how motivating Jordan was. And I guess I'd say that was something that LeBron, it seems like LeBron doesn't really motivate his teammates. Despite his individual greatness, it seems to be that when it comes to motivating him. Now, when he's on the floor, he'll find the open man, he makes the right basketball plays. I mean, basketball-wise, he's a phenom. He's one of the best ever. But attitude-wise, I think he sometimes, you know, is just immature and entitled a little bit. And I think that's where people say, no, he's not the GOAT, you know? Jordan will be the GOAT. I mean, because he didn't have these petty attitude things. So, anyway.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree with that conversation. I had a conversation with my barber. He disagreed, but I really think he lacks that leadership. He hasn't made his teammates better, which is what Michael Jordan did and Kobe Bryant did back with the Lakers. That's something that, I mean, some people say Michael Jordan can't take this Cavs team to the finals. I think he would have. I think he would have made J.R. Smith better. He would have made George Hill better. He would have made Kevin Love better, or even Rodney Hood, which he'll probably play tonight. Finally, he said he forgot how he played, so he had to review some tape back from his Utah Jazz days.
Wow.
Really quick, what happened to the Portland Trail Blazers? We didn't have time to discuss it. Why did they lose so quick?
You know, that's a good question. They had they surpassed expectations on the season, and they had home court advantage, and I think what happened, the New Orleans Pelicans, I don't know what it was, but they just were a bad matchup for the Blazers. I mean, Anthony Davis and then, you know, Rajon Rondo, he just, you know, upped his game. And I think New Orleans, at least in that series, they were clicking on all cylinders, you know. And Drew Holiday and Rondo, they kind of shut down the dynamic duo of Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, and nobody saw that coming. And so they really defensively shut down them for the most part. And then, so that was kind of canceled each other out. But the real big factor, Portland had nobody to match up with Anthony Davis. They didn't have a big man on that level. And I think when Portland depends so much on the success of Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum, they're their two dynamic scorers, then when they were not, you know, at their optimal level, when they weren't playing as they normally do, there was no other guys that really stepped up, you know, to fill in the void. And that's where Portland lacked. That was what was impressive to me about Boston, that Boston Celtics had so many guys step up seemingly. And I was really rooting for them because I just liked their young, athletic, intense team. I was hoping they'd make it to the finals. And I was, like you said, they were up 2-0 on the Cavs. I was shocked that they came back, LeBron let them back. But anyway, that's another question. But that's what I think happened to Portland. They kind of underestimated the Pelicans, and the Pelicans they were like a different team in the, at least against Portland, they were like a better team against Portland than they were in the regular season. So yeah,
never underestimate the bird, the Pelican. It's it can be deceiving at times. Are you ready for rapid fire questions?
Yeah, brother, go ahead.
Can you survive in the woods for 1 month?
It depends what woods, like where would they be located?
Let's say Oregon.
Oh, yeah, I definitely could survive in the Oregon woods because I grew up there, and I could survive in the Oregon woods for a month, definitely.
What animal best represents your personality?
Wow. Lord, help me. What animal best represents my personality? I would probably say that that's a good question, brother. It's just rapid fire, so
not a pelican. Animals coming.
Not a pelican. No, I guess I would say a blue jay, like a bird, because it sings and it's free, and it just simply trusts God for its needs, and it does what it's called to do. You know, at times it draws attention to itself for different reasons, but a lot of times it's just inconspicuous. So anyway, that's rapid fire. There was other answers I could have given, but yeah.
And which musical artist is musically overrated?
Cool. Which musical artist is musically overrated? A lot of these new rappers, these young rappers. I think they're overrated. Most of these rappers, now some people might like them, but I don't really, you know, I hear stuff, I hear a little clips of their songs and stuff, and I've listened, and because I don't like listen to the music, but I just don't get it. But they're they're totally secular and worldly, but like, you know, the Migos, right? Are they the Migos?
No idea.
And you have no idea who they are?
I don't listen to rap.
Okay, they're like this new rap, and like you can't even, a lot of their stuff is like gibberish or garble to me, or they'll like repeat the same words over. They had a song called Bad and Bougie, and they're really popular among amongst that crowd. So I would say, to me, they're overrated. and some of these, oh man, there's some really freaky rappers coming out. I mean, have you heard of the this little girl called Little Tay?
No, like, no, Little Tay. Wow, that's a good one. A very original.
Yeah, it's horrible. She's 9 years old, man. She's like a rapper. It's horrible, man.
At least finish school, like, or finish middle school, at least.
Yeah, man. It's like exploitation, but yeah, I mean, that's what comes to mind. That's what comes to mind for overrated musicians.
And what's something that cannot be bought or sold on the internet?
Dang, something that cannot be bought or sold on the internet. Well, strictly speaking, on the internet, you know, you can't buy or sell genuine friendship. You know, authentic relationships cannot be bought or sold. Now, you can buy clicks, you can buy, you know, the title of a friend, but you cannot buy or sell authentic friendship. That can only be developed through experience over time.
Amen. Amen. And finally, last question. What is the score for tonight? Cavs and Warriors.
Yeah, I'm predicting that Warriors are going to win. I think it will be close. So I'm going to say it'll be the Warriors will have just over 100, maybe like 102, 103. I'll give a specific score.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it'll be 102 Warriors to 99 Cavs. So I think it'll go down to the wire, and because, you know, the Cavs will make it competitive, but I think the Warriors will edge them out.
Yeah, pivotal game three, it will definitely go to the hundreds because all these games have been high scoring. I'm going to say 114 to 108. Hold on. Let me choose the Cavs. And it will go under 100. So 99 to like 86 Cavs. No, that's a low scoring game for NBA Finals. That's too low for NBA Finals.
I think that's how the Cavs have to win it, though, because if it becomes a shootout, that's the Warriors game. So if the Cavs make it a slow drag game and they clamp down on defense and they keep the Warriors under 90, like you said, I think that's their best chance to win.
Wow. And we'll see Rodney Hood. Good presentation of Rodney Hood. Come back, help the team, bring some youth and speed to it. So it should be hopefully bring the NBA Finals to a better night. And Eric, how can people reach you?
Yeah, you know, if you want to email me any questions, suggestions, or inquiries, or if you want me to minister, I portray Jesus live. That's my personal calling. Nobody does it like I do. I'm serious. I'm the best in the world at what I do. I'm the most passionate about it, and I'm expanding our brand, you know, with the help of the Lord and others. But you can reach me through my email, E-R-I-C, Eric, that's me, eric@jmtd.biz. And you can find that as well on our website, jmtd.biz. So you can see videos and different pictures. And, you know, encouragement is always highly valued. Prayers are priceless. And, you know, any constructive criticism is also highly valued. You know, people that see potential, but they think you could do something better, or they think, you know, something that's not a condemnation, but again, it's a constructive meant to build you up critique. I value those as well. I consider everything people say, you know. So, yeah, if you're intrigued or encouraged or have something, please email me, reach out to me, and I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Has anyone condemned you? You always
no,
hear it,
no, no,
but has anyone actually done it?
Nobody's condemned me, no, directly, no one's condemned me. You know, I've had a few people, every now and then, like when I've posted certain content, you know, I guess I could say there's been people who the spirit in which they made negative comments were condemnation, you know.
Facebook's the only place to condemn people, I'm telling you. No,
YouTube comments too sometimes.
YouTube, no one has a stomach, say it right in your face. Well, anyways, Eric Olson, thanks for coming on to the DevoCast. I hope to see you again, and follow him on jmtd.biz.
Amen. Jesus makes the difference. Love you, Brother Santiago, and love you all out there.